So I guess the first question is that it's October, and that bridge is really starting to take form in Peace River, isn't it? What have you heard about it lately?
Yeah, no, it's I'm very excited that it's been on budget and on time. Stay tuned in the coming days for more information and announcements on that. But all I can say is I'm very proud of the work that Alberta Transportation and AECOM and all the contractors have done, because anytime the government does something on time and on budget, it's something to be celebrated. Sadly, it's the world we live in, but it's the truth.
Yeah, fair enough. Absolutely. And it is on budget. And I think even last time we spoke, you had said it was even slightly ahead of schedule, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right. I mean, that is the expectation. But under promise and over deliver is what I've always been told. So at least on time and on budget.
All right, awesome. And I guess talking about that as well, we saw a very interesting campaign from the Alberta Federation of Labour in terms of boycott businesses that fund the UCP or that donated to the UCP before the election. And obviously, I think everybody except maybe the NDP and the AFL are condemning those remarks. But overall, especially during a pandemic and an economic crisis, what's the point?
I mean, it's so tone deaf to take these businesses that obviously are engaged politically and try and punish them or boycott them for being citizens that are engaged in the democracy. But I think this is very rich coming from Gil McGowan, who's the head of the Alberta Federation of Labour, where a failed NDP candidate more than once, who obviously has a concern with folks campaigning against him or his ideology. I think folks who belong to the AFL and unions that are affiliated would be better served to have a president who cared about them instead of about trying to play provincial politics when he can't get elected. So I just don't have a lot of patience for that. I myself am going to keep working for the constituents that elected me and everyone in the Peace River constituency and not get distracted by these kinds of, petty games and just stay focused on jobs, economy, and pipeline, and saving lives and livelihood, which is the priority of this government in the middle of this pandemic, and in the middle of what was an unprecedented economic collapse that we've seen worldwide.
No doubt. And also as well is that we see in terms of flooding for Northern Sunrise County, the government invested over $3 million as part of the relaunch strategy to create jobs and diversity. And that's specifically coming as part of that relaunch. That's specifically coming here thanks to your work. What's that going to be about?
Well, it's $3 million, as you said, and it's there to make sure, number one, that we have some preventative measures in place for flooding. But as you said, it's also part of that recovery strategy that we have in Alberta. We're the only provincial government taking this kind of initiative to make sure that our economy is rebounding afterwards. And we understand there's a role to be played by government to make sure that we're diversifying our economy, that we're creating jobs, and in the process of that, also building infrastructure that's going to serve Albertans for a generation. So expect that kind of project to continue on. We've seen a lot of them already. Folks who felt that things were slowed down on 35 with construction heading north towards Manning. There's a number of these kind of projects across the province and in our constituency. And the reason is we understand this infrastructure needs to last for a generation. If there's a time to build it, now is the time, keeping Albertans employed, diversifying our economy at the same time.
No doubt. And also, I guess, in talking about another project, an international project that could be coming with some routes right through the riding, and that's the A2A Alaska to Alberta rail line that got a presidential permit south of the border now. Talking to various ministers, they said that there was a long way to go before something like this happens, but the possibility, that's got to excite you.
Well, the possibility for the region is huge. It would essentially turn Peace Country into a gateway for international markets, heading right through our constituency. Peace Country's resources are incredibly bountiful. That means there's opportunity for us in oil and gas and forestry and agriculture and others. Value-added manufacturing become possibilities too as you come to that easy access through rail to a major port like that. But as my colleagues have stressed in the past, there's a lot to go still. I mean, there's a lot of capital that needs to be fundraised. There's a lot of regulation that needs to continue to happen and get approved. And it's not all within ours or the American jurisdiction. there are federal concerns as well. We need to make sure that happens. But all that being said, our government is making it a priority to make sure this project, along with others like it, when it comes to infrastructure rights of way for, you know, whether it be pipelines or railroads or transportation corridors that make sure that we can get access to international markets for our goods, top priority. My colleague, Sonia Savage, Doug Schweitzer, as well working with Shane Getson, the MLA out of St. Anne, Parkland, have been working with this project and those who are doing the work on it in the private sector very closely. So I'm optimistic, but I'm not holding my breath just yet because, as everyone knows in Canada, there seems to be that moving goalpost when it comes to the federal courts or the federal government trying to effectively put an end to primarily our energy industry. But let's be honest, all of our commodities need access to those international markets. I have not talked to a farmer who's had a tough time getting grain space on a train for bins. I have not spoken to a mill who has not had difficulty trying to get their lumber out to market for themselves. So whatever industry you're in and whatever part of the North you're in, it is important to have projects like this go on, and I'm going to continue to push on it.
Yeah, no, no. Isn't it kind of interesting too? It seems like the American administration, in terms of you know, giving an approval to the Keystone XL pipeline and also giving an approval to this project, the A2A railway, seems like almost that the U.S. federal government has done more for Alberta's energy than maybe the federal government has.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think that that the Trudeau government needs to put. It says nice things about importance of supporting Canadians wherever they're from. But I would like to see Justin Trudeau come to Alberta to understand what it is to live and work in the rural north when he wants to impose a carbon tax, which is a tax on everything from gasoline to toothbrushes. Whatever you eat, everything you consume and use effectively is taxed that way. It's a consumption tax because we need that oil and gas, not just as a product that we produce and get to market, but also because the oil we use turns into gasoline that is our transportation. It is the natural gas that heats our homes. So I think Mr. Trudeau would be well served to come to Peace Country, where his former Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister is from, and get a sense of the concerns that we have day to day in the midst of this, rather than offering, you know, empty platitudes about the world going forward. I was absolutely embarrassed to see the federal government's speech from the throne. It effectively empty platitudes on what would be a Canadian version of a Green New Deal, and you know, focusing on the corona response, which is fine to do, but you've not at all captured the frustration and the concern that Albertans are facing today, especially Albertans in the rural north who live and die based on their jobs and their livelihoods that they get through resource industry. And it was completely abandoned and neglected.
Yeah, no words mentioned about that. Also, as well, I know that Health Minister Tyler Shander had appointed you to be the lead consultant on what to do with strengthening palliative care. Have you had a chance to engage on some meetings on that yet?
Yeah, I've just started off on it, and I'm very excited to have this. Palliative care is so important. End-of-life care is sometimes a difficult topic for us to deal with. But the fact is, every single Albertan or their family is going to end up dealing with this question at some point. And as thorny as it can be at times and scary, we need to address it as individuals, as families, and we have a role as government too, which is why the government's invested a record $20 million above and beyond into palliative care. And it's my job now to meet with folks in the industry, folks who work in end-of-life professionally, individuals who have gone with their families through this kind of process, and the general public to understand where we have shortcomings in our palliative care and how we can do what the purpose of palliative care is, how we can do it better, which is to make sure that at the end of your life that you have comfort and that you're passing away in comfort as you go into that part of your life, which is a learning part of your life. You, folks who end up going through those sort of palliative care situations are in a spot where they end up growing as individuals. And that's what's really difficult for folks to understand. It really is a time of growth. And the importance of palliative care is something that that every single family that has had good palliative care support is so, so grateful for that I've spoken to.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess one of the final ones I'll throw out there too, Dan, I know the time is valuable, but also is that the legislature is a couple of weeks, or not even, about a week away from kicking off again. And what are some of the things that, at least I've seen in terms of your Facebook page, you've been all over the constituency, you had a chance to meet from everybody from all the way up to the Fort Vermilion School Division to the Village and Nampa Council. And so based on some of those, on these meetings you've had, what are some of the questions you have for your constituents when they open up the legislature?
Well, you're exactly right. We're coming back a week earlier than we had planned, and we're going to get to work again in that legislature. Last session, we passed 34 bills, which was more than any other legislature in the country. And you'll notice that Trudeau even shut down for a large amount of time the federal legislature, Parliament. We did not do that, and we continued to work just as Albertans had to throughout as well. And you can see more of the same in this session. We're going to be taking an aggressive legislative agenda, and a lot of it's going to be very familiar, things that you have already seen and heard of, probably in our platform, the 112-page platform that Albertans got to vote on, that we'll be taking our cues from. That means a focus on jobs, economy, pipeline. That means diversifying our economy. That means building infrastructure like we've seen. And we're going to see particular bills for the Peace Country that will do exactly that. Bills focused exclusively on our jurisdiction and on our riding that will diversify and grow the economy and build infrastructure. So those will be our focuses, and my focus particularly. And I think a lot of the questions that I'm going to be asking the government, when I get questions, I mean, it'll depend on what is going on in the political world, but I want to make sure that they get the honest truth. And I've had a lot of folks come up to me and ask me, is it true that doctors are leaving Alberta? Well, no, it's not true. We have doctors coming back to Alberta. Is it true that we actually have a multi-billion dollar giveaway? Well, it's not true. What we've seen is a huge amount of support for small and medium-sized businesses in the province of Alberta because of the initiatives taken by government. So I want to take those false facts and the NDP lies and narratives that they're spinning and make sure that the folks in the constituency of Peace River get the honest truth, and that'll be the questions I'm focusing on.
Awesome. As always, Dan, is there anything else you'd like to add that I may have forgotten to touch on?
No, I really appreciate you taking the time, Kenny, and always looking forward to chatting with you again.
All right, Dan, thank you for keeping us up to date, and this is Peace River MLA Dan Williams, and this is The Hot Seat.